You are listening to CKMS News on 102.7 FM, Radio Waterloo. I'm Dan Keller, and this show first aired April 17th, 2025. With the launch of version 2 of the Cycling Guide, Mark Connolly told CKMS News that the app will find, quote, the best available, low-stress, cycling-friendly routes available, unquote, to get a cyclist to a destination. Connolly, who is the executive director of the not-for-profit Cycling Guide Foundation and a programmer on the project, spoke with CKMS News earlier this week. Cycling Guide is a free app that uses data from the open-source OpenStreetMaps to create routes to a set destination that favors safe cycling infrastructure. Connolly called OpenStreetMaps the, quote, wiki for geospatial data, unquote. The app will show a cyclist where they may encounter more stressful riding situations through a color-coded system and allow a user to select the route that best fits their comfort levels. Version 2 of the app still only provides routes in Waterloo Region and Guelph, but Connolly told CKMS News that it is beta testing in Ottawa, Sarnia-Lambton, and Halifax, Nova Scotia, collaborating with local cycling advocacy groups in each of the areas to fill gaps in the data. While the Cycling Guide Foundation is headquartered in Halifax, the origin of the app was a downtime project at Connolly's Waterloo-based software company, Zeitspace. Connolly then teamed up with the bike advocacy group CycleWR to really get the project rolling in 2021. According to Connolly, this new update will make the cycling guide, quote, more accessible to more people in the community, unquote. Here is the interview.
Hi, I'm Mark Connolly. I'm the executive director at the Cycling Guide Foundation, the home of the Cycling Guide mobile app.
Can you describe the Cycling Guide and what users can expect in this new version 2?
Cycling Guide's a mobile app that's aimed specifically at people riding bikes. We like to characterize it as it's the best available, low-stress, cycling-friendly routes available. And the routes that we provide really are good. We do take into account stressful traffic situations in the app, and we try to avoid them. So really, we're aiming this at people who would perhaps like to cycle more, but feel like they lack the experience or the knowledge or the expertise to do it, and they're a little worried about riding in traffic. And so this isn't aimed at, you know, people who are already really strong cyclists, although, you know, we think they'll benefit from it as well. It's aimed at folks who would like to cycle more, and it's aimed at giving them the confidence to do so without worrying about traffic. One of the things that I like about using Cycling Guide is it's made for people who want to ride their bikes. There aren't car directions in it. It's not filled up with a whole bunch of other stuff. Right now, it's really focused on the needs of people who ride their bikes and getting them from where they are to where they want to go.
And the version 2 updates, any big changes?
Yeah, well, we've added a few things to it. So we always showed bike parking in the app, but we didn't really have any details. And we knew from early research that we had done, interviews we had done with potential users, that finding a place to park your bike if you're going somewhere is important, because you want to know that when you're done running your errand, your bike will still be there. So now if you tap on a bike parking icon in the app, we'll show whatever details are available for that bike parking facility. And at this point, I should say that we get our data from OpenStreetMap, which is a source of data that we also contribute to it. Anyway, that's one thing we've added. When you're cycling, we now have a dashboard that tells you, you know, how fast you're going, how many kilometers you've gone, and you know, how many minutes or hours you've been riding. So trying to provide a bit of information while you're riding. Another big one that may not matter as much to folks here in Kitchener-Waterloo, but it's a big picture thing, is we've added support for Canadian French in the app, which we're really pleased about. In this new release, we've added in cycling tips so that people who are, again, getting back into cycling after years long missing it, or getting into it for the first time, we've got some tips that will help them ride more safely and enjoy their cycling more. The other thing that we've got in the app is an explore section that has some predefined recreational rides. Those came from Explore Waterloo Region. And you know, for folks who want to get out, ride around and explore the region, you can do that as well. And there are a bunch of other small fixes, like, you know, people over time have reported issues to us, and we've addressed a bunch of small issues as well to make it a little bit clearer what's going on, and a little bit clearer what you can do when using the app.
So what makes this cycling guide app different than, say, Google Maps or similar commercial products?
At a high level, Cycling Guide Foundation is a Canadian not-for-profit corporation, and we're waiting to hear back from Canada Revenue Agency on our application for charitable status. And what that means is we're not engaged in the kind of things that commercial apps might find interesting, meaning surveillance capitalism. I mean, we're really focused on people who use the app and delivering a great cycling experience for them. That's sort of the top of the thing. But the other thing that we do is we really do avoid stressful situations based on cars. And what that looks like in the app is when you get a route back, the route will be colored, like multiple colors, not just a single blue line. And each of those four colors represents a level of traffic stress. So that's one thing. We make visible what you can expect. But the other thing is we've characterized different streets and roads and pathways in Waterloo region to match one of four different levels of traffic stress. And that comes with the research that was done years ago by academics. And if you want, you can go to cyclingguide.org to read more about that. But essentially what that means is we go out of our way to avoid high stress traffic situations. If you take a look at what Google Maps does, and what Google does is very good in its way, this isn't really a knock on them, but when you're getting a route for a bike in Google Maps, it looks to us based on our analysis that what they're doing is they'll make use of cycle paths and multi-use paths if they're available. Contrast that with us, we don't just make use of those, we favor them and try to avoid stressful traffic situations. So for us, the routes are really focused on what's going to work well for a person riding a bike rather than just, oh, if there's bike stuff, we can use it.
How do you get the ground level traffic stress data? Like, is that user submitted?
So what we're doing is Cycling Guide is built on a foundation of data from OpenStreetMap. And OpenStreetMap, you can sort of think of it as the Wikipedia for geospatial data, meaning that people around the world are contributing to it and putting in updates with mapping information, geographic information. We use that as the basis for the routes that we do. And because we don't have access to real-time traffic information, we take a look at the data in OpenStreetMaps and we infer what kind of traffic people can expect to see. So as a couple of extreme examples, if something in OpenStreetMap is shown as a multi-use path, you know, that is no cars are allowed on it, We will assign that as the lowest level of traffic stress. And those are the green lines on our routes. On the other hand, if a road has a high speed limit, like 60 kilometers per hour and lots of lanes, and it's classified as a particular kind of road in OpenStreetMap data, then we'll assign that as the highest level of traffic stress. So we're inferring what people can expect in the ways of traffic based on what the infrastructure is built to support.
How have people been using the app? Like, have you been getting good feedback on it?
Yeah, we get great feedback. The app has a built-in feedback mechanism. And so what we do is when we receive feedback, we act on it. We try to address their concerns about issues, but we'll also, when they send issues in, they'll also let us know that it's going good. We do get positive feedback, mainly along the lines of, it's great to get routes that avoid cars. I've discovered all kinds of new routes in Waterloo region that I didn't know existed. And that's actually another thing that's good about the app. We will route onto cycling infrastructure when it exists. But when we can't do that, we will route people on residential streets that are lower stress. In Uptown Waterloo, for example, the maximum speed is 30 kilometers per hour. In other residential areas in Waterloo and Kitchener, the maximum speed is 40 kilometers per hour. So we'll route onto those residential streets. What we're really good at doing is taking advantage of the small little connector paths between residential streets. Those are the sorts of things that before I started using Cycling Guide, I didn't know where they all existed. And even now when I get a route, I end up getting routed down one of those things. And if I wasn't getting routed to it, I wouldn't even see it. It's that kind of stuff. So we've had feedback from people that they appreciate finding these routes that they didn't know existed.
Now, you mentioned you've integrated a translation for French. Are you planning to take this initiative to other communities?
Yes, we are. In fact, right now we're in beta testing in Ottawa and in Sarnia-Lambton and in Halifax, Nova Scotia. And when I say we're in beta testing, what I mean is that the app works there, But one of the things that we found when we rolled out Cycling Guide in Waterloo Region was that there were issues that arose in our routing that came about because of gaps or inadequacies in OpenStreetMap data. So we spent a long time taking feedback from people and either fixing issues in OpenStreetMap, you know, like adding in attributes that would say bikes are allowed here, or addressing issues in the way that we process the OpenStreetMap data to do a better job of processing it. And so right now we're doing that in those other communities. And actually going to Ottawa is what motivated us to get our French translation done. We've always had translations on our list of things to do, and we don't just want to do obvious things like French. We want to do languages for people who are perhaps newcomers to Waterloo Region. So, you know, whether that's Punjabi or Arabic, or I think there's a simplified Chinese script we can use. There are a few different languages that we do want to do translations to in order to make Cycling Guide more accessible to more people in the community.
In closing, Mark Connolly added how he likes to use the app for discovery.
But honestly, the thing that I've found that's fun to do with it is I've just gone out on rides without using it, following paths, not caring where they went, and just discovering new things that I wouldn't have found on my own. And then when I've got myself well and truly lost, I can use Cycling Guide to find a safe route home. So, you know, it's turned into a fun way for me to explore the region.
You are listening to an interview with Mark Connolly, the executive director of the Cycling Guide Foundation, which is the home of the Cycling Guide app. The updated version 2 of the app was released on April 11th and is available in the Google Play Store and the Apple App Store. For more information about the app and to track its implementation in other communities, check out cyclingguide.org. This is Dan Keller for CKMS News on 102.7 FM Radio Waterloo. Thank you for tuning in. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, Heritage Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. Check out the archived versions of this program on radiowaterloo.ca/news and listen to all the LJI content at frequencynews.ca. If you want to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover, email us at news@radiowaterloo.ca.